This is Where We Meet, sharing conversations from New Mexico and beyond. I'm Alice Morillon, and this show is supported by the Northern Rio Grande National Heritage Area. Taos Center for the Arts would like to recognize that it operates on the homelands of the Red Willow people of Taos Pueblo. We'd like to honor the ongoing dedication and importance of Native and Indigenous cultures within our community and within the land we live, learn, and exist on. Our guest today is Enriqueta Vasquez. Vasquez is a Chicana activist, journalist, writer, and artist. She began her political work in Denver, Colorado, and later relocated to San Cristobal, New Mexico. Vasquez was a close collaborator and friend of political leader Corky Gonzalez and civil rights activist Craig Vincent. She was involved in the creation of the Chicano school Escuela Tlatelolco in Denver, which led her and her husband to move to San Cristobal, where the Vincent Ranch became a space for inner-city students to learn wilderness and farm skills. Later, with other New Mexican Chicano activists, she founded El Grito del Norte, a bilingual newspaper that covered the Chicano movement and celebrated Chicano culture. This is our second episode featuring Enriqueta Vasquez. You can listen to last week's episode anywhere you listen to podcasts or go to tcataos.org and look for the TCA Radio Hour tab. In this interview, Vasquez talks of her role as a woman and feminist in the Chicano movement alongside other activists, including members of the Crusades for Justice. The Crusade for Justice was an urban rights movement focusing on social, political, and economic justice for Chicanos based in Denver, Colorado. Vasquez also explains the lawsuit that she filed in 1970 against the Taos School Board to protect the students' civil rights. And later in our conversation, she shares some elements of her spiritual life. Our conversation starts today with Vasquez talking of the beginning of El Grito del Norte and her column, Despierten Hermanos. In 2006, Vasquez's writing for El Grito del Norte was turned into a book to document the Chicano movement. Here is Enriqueta Vasquez.
And then I made the first Despierten Hermanos, Wake Up Brothers. And then the next time, Betita was the one that was really urging people, get going, get going, get going, you know. And she'd say, what are you going to name this wonderful jewel you sent to me? Because I had the next column. And I says, I don't know. Just name it Despierten Hermanos. And so it became a regular column.
And I think the fact that you were a woman came through in your writing a lot. And I wonder if you could tell us about it and why that felt important to you at the time.
It was interesting. Later on, some kid said, I can't believe that I'm reading all this about a woman who wrote way back in 1968. And the stuff that she was saying then. And, I had a lot of... then I wrote one long, The Women of La Raza. I think it's a big, long article. Mm-hmm. More of an article. Anyway, then there was some other civil rights groups that picked it up. But even my own, I had one brother who said, you should not be writing about the woman. Huh. And even people in the crusade, some of the men said, you should not be writing about the woman because you're splitting the movement. You're a woman and you're splitting the movement into men and women. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I had a lot of feedback on it that was not, mm-hmm. It was negative, you know, and then I said, well, a woman should be heard. But there were some people who said, yes, we need to include the woman in everything that's done. And then we had a big, big conference in Denver, 1969. But anyway, and it was international. I mean, they came from Alaska and all over. We organized ourselves in certain workshops for this and certain workshops for that and everything. And it worked out beautiful. Women came and brought food, I don't know where from. They just made taquitos and we'd eat. And I even had a workshop that they had two gangs from Chicago, but they had been fighting each other very much in Chicago. And then there was this guy, Ruel Martinez. Anyway, he said, he was a psychologist. He says, we're going to have a big, because we had separate rooms all over, you know, rooms going on all over the place. And he said, there are going to be these two gangs, and it's going to get really, really, you know, touch and go. Mm-hmm. He said, and he said, Ruel came up, Enriqueta, would you like to sit in the movement, in that workshop? I said, And then somebody else, Ricardo Romero, came up. He says, I think it would be a good idea, and kind of, you know, have a woman in there. I said, oh, I don't want to be just a woman. They're going to be fighting each other. And anyway, but I did sit through. It didn't make a difference, you know. We were in that workshop all day long. And I mean, some guys cried, some guys let out, some of them wanted to fight. And it was really, Ruel was a psychologist, thank God. He really knew how to handle that. Mm. But I remember that was the roughest thing I sat through. Ricardo was a good speaker, though. He says, you know what? You have to think about your community. Quit thinking about each other and killing each other. Why don't you think about your people? Why don't you take care of them? And that, you know, that kind of work went out too. And anyway, we sat there all day long and all night. And the next day, they had, because we had an auditorium and a stage, and they all got up there together, the two sides, and they said, Enriqueta, you want to sit up? No. But I did sit in on it, and then Ricardo was kind of monitoring it, and he said, these two gangs have been rivals forever, and they're from Chicago, and I want them to speak. And they did speak. They said, we have been fighting each other for centuries, he says, but it's about time that we started to think about our people. And so there was that kind of a spirit. And wow, I couldn't believe it. I mean, people were crying. He said, it can be done. We have to have a movement of humans, of Chicanos. And that's the kind of strength that came out of that. And there were workshops for everything. And then, of course, the group from Mexico danced, you know, which everybody else said, well, we're going to go do that over there too, you know. So that's how word spread around.
That's great. So it was both political and cultural.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And the people wrote songs. We have some good songs, good Chicano songs.
And I wonder, what was the reaction of, you know, the entities of power, let's say the state of Colorado, or the police, or, you know, like when you guys were organizing and writing newspapers and communicating within groups of Chicanos, how was it? Was it violent? Was there a strong reaction against you, or how did that happen?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. I even have a lot of that written. You know, even when we had the school here, there were somebody bombed some school buses in Denver. And then they said that it had been connected to San Cristobal. And Bill was he had a big mouth. And he had said, oh, I'll go out and bomb the governor if I have to. But anyway, and I think that it got around, and they decided that they came a search warrant to my house and to search for dynamite. Thorough. We had the FBI up there, the state police, and sheriff's office. Everybody was here. Then they searched our house for dynamite, and we didn't have any. No, we didn't have any. The only thing Bill had was a battery. I don't remember. Somebody had left a battery here, like for dynamite. Okay. And that story is interesting, too. Ramona came home. The kids came home on the bus and from school, and she said, "What's going on?" They tore up the mattresses, turned them upside down. Our beds, everything was turned on upside down. They even went to the outhouse and the sheds everywhere. I mean, they really searched this place. But, and then we had a root cellar. They searched that too. Okay, in the root cellar, when they built this community, there was a root cellar. And of course they had to clean up, you know, there were big trees here. Well, they had a big barrel of yellow powder. And I remember I was curious. I even looked at it. I said, "What is this thing?" I couldn't get any smell, no nothing out of it. And that was, you know, but they were using, it's a dynamite powder. And they had used it to clean up, you know, cut trees to the first ones that came here. And that's what they were doing. And that barrel was there. And afterwards, they had to bring the Corps of Engineers because they said that we didn't have dynamite. Mm-hmm. But they did find the barrel. And they said, "Well, this is aged." Because it was, I mean, I don't know how long it had been there. They had to bring the Corps of Engineers to take it very carefully. I mean, so the things were, there was a lot of stuff happening. Mm-hmm. We used to, people would hide out from California. They'd come and stay at the ranch. You know, people were coming and going, and then we were kind of the center of it, you know, but we didn't say, yeah, we're, I don't know where. Sometimes I think about it. I don't know where we got all so much food.
And I'm curious, with the newspaper, with the group, did that lead to any further action in New Mexico, in northern New Mexico? Was it beyond publishing the paper? Were you guys also, I don't know, either protesting or like setting up events for the communities here? Or was that also very much based in Denver?
We had an exchange. That's why we had the Chicano Press Association. So we all knew who was going where. And we, in those days too, we had conferences. Texas had a conference, there we go. Somebody else had a conference, there we go. So, you know, there were conferences all over. We weren't just them, you know. We knew what was going on all over the world. Mm-hmm. And the Black Panthers used to come, and we had all kinds of people, and all kinds. And it was kind of dangerous times, but we didn't think of it that way. You know, we just actively. I have a letter from Jerry Padilla that he wrote in the Taos paper, and I have it in, it's part of a book that I'm putting together too, you know. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't, people used to romanticize romanticized the Chicano movement, but it was downright dangerous. And then I sued the school. We were not loved. We had this Japanese friend that came over to visit, and he gave Ramona a Mao button, real nice. And then there was a nationwide moratorium to stop the Vietnam War. Okay, and everybody was wearing black armbands. Well, almost everybody. And then my kids wore their armbands to school. Mm-hmm. And Ramona had the Mao button and everything else. She was in the fourth or fifth grade.
So she was pretty young.
Oh, yeah. So she, anyway, they went to school, and then, but the teacher brought her up to the front of the class and said, "This is an example of a communist family." And, you know, she just put her down really bad. And then she took her to the principal, and the principal, by then she was, you know, scared to death. Anyway, she went to the principal, and he said, "Well, you shouldn't be bringing these things to school." La, da, 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 da. And then, but there had been a civil rights, it was a Supreme Court hearing already, that one young man had gone to school, and he had long hair, and they made him cut his hair. And so there had been already a case of civil rights, you know, in the schools. The schools have been sued. So anyway, and Craig, of course, he had lawyers all over. He was very wealthy and very, you know, he'd back anything. He said, "Well, why don't you sue the school?" And I said, "I don't know." He said, "Yeah, well, get your lawyer." And then, so we decided to sue the schools. And I have a cartoon of my daughter. You know, she has the armband and everything, and they're all, oh, and she's going like that, and they're all scared to death of her. But anyway, it was quite a story. But I did go to court. Uh-huh. And I had been in court a lot. I had been, you know, when I was in the U.S. Attorney's Office, I used to go to court every week. I was a secretary and everything. Anyway, so we did go, and he gave us an attorney. We went to court, and he had to go to Albuquerque because it was a federal case. And when I got there, I thought, my God, here I am, real Chicana and everything else. And these are a bunch of Chicanos I'm suing. And they were, you know, I hadn't met all these teachers. They were all Mexican, you know. And they were all there. They subpoenaed all the teachers. Everybody was there. And then, so there was a hearing here and back and there and what happened, you know, and Ramona was there. And they brought up the Mao button, the black bands, and all that kind of stuff, and that they had, you know, it was a bad family. And anyway, and my lawyer wasn't that very smart. I was smarter than he was. And then the judge said, "Enriqueta, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? How do you want to proceed?" Mm-hmm. And I said, well, I knew a lot of law already. I says, what I want to do, I would like to put this court case in abeyance. And I would like to put it in abeyance so it can be opened at any time that anybody in the schools, anybody that is, their civil rights are abused or something, they can come back come back to court on this lawsuit. And he said, "Do you want to sue for money?" And I said, "No, we're not doing this for money." But he said, "You can." He says, "You can file for money, and then if somebody else, you know, wanted to go to court on that suit, they could file for money." And so I said, "Oh, okay, well." I said, "No, I don't want to do it. I'm not filing for money. I want this case left open in the court."
That's awesome. Do you know if it's been used? If this lawsuit, you know, was helpful for people afterwards? No, now that it was open, it was okay.
Dare. Yeah. Later on, I think my son was in a class, and he refused to say the Pledge of Allegiance or something, and the teacher got him and took him to the office. He took him to the principal, and the principal said, "He is going through his civil rights. You cannot do that. He can do whatever he wants." It made a big change. I had some friends that, you know, spoke said, "My God, you brought Taos up to date." But it was a sacrifice, you know. It was, oh well.
Enriqueta, you've done all that work, in, you know, the '60s, the '70s, the '80s, and beyond. And I'm wondering what you think of the state of our society, like the American society, or even just in New Mexico, how you see things today, and if you feel like progress has been made, or if we're still in a problematic situation. What's your take on the current politics for Chicanos here?
A lot of people resented the Chicano label. But then after a while, you know, a lot of them start calling them Chicanos too. But I don't know. Politics is, there's so much that needs to be done. We've had some good conferences. We've had some women's conferences at the Presbyterian Church there in Taos one time. And it was Nelson, the judge. Yeah, Peggy Nelson was there. And you know, we had good people, and they speak well, but I don't see a lot of action. I don't know. I don't see a lot of action, but then maybe the times are changed. Who knows, Goba? Who knows?
Before we wrap up, I think you have a few projects going on right now. I think you mentioned that one of your plays might be put on soon by Les Pistoleras here in Taos.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, that's a play. I write all kinds of things. But I had that for some years, and it was The Blue Eagle and La Flor, Flor de Encanto. Anyway, it's a play of the things that were going on here, but it includes a lot of tradition, and kind of the old people that come in with their ideas, and the young people that have different ideas, and it's set in around here. You know, there's a hot the hot springs up there, and a baby that's born, and then there's the man that's trying to get the land and building houses up there, you know, and trying to get, and that baby's actually inherited a lot of that land. And so he was trying to get that baby so he can get the, and the mother, of course, was protecting the baby, mm-hmm. but so there's a lot of action mm-hmm. in that respect, in the respect of the lands. And the lands that have been building up here, mm-hmm. and the new generation, and I still bring the spiritual in, you know, the Blue Eagle, and the when the Blue Eagle blows it, and then there are the older people that come to baptize the baby, and they want to take him to the hot springs because they want to get a traditional old kind of baptism, and so. The baby kind of disappears, and then they bring the baby back. There's a lot of music in it. It's going to be, I think it's nice. I like it. And Tessa Cordova is, I guess, you know, that's pushing for that to be done. Of course, she's also in charge of the 16th of September, which we're going to be having here at Kit Carson. Mm-hmm. So it's there are things that are happening, and, you know, but we had the first Cinco de Mayo, we had a women's group. We called them Las Hembras de Colores, the women of power, of color. And we had the first Cinco de Mayo that came to Taos. People never even knew what the Cinco de Mayo was. Well, we knew about it, but, you know, never talked about it or celebrated it. Uh-huh. And then Tanya said, "Why don't we do the Cinco de Mayo?" Tanya and Juanita and I, and we just kind of got together and made it at the Kit Carson, and we had a parade, and then I had dancers that came from Denver because they, you know, they said, oh, yeah, we'll go over there. And because we were always in touch, and Corky came to speak and everything. But anyway, we had a parade. We had charts. We had pictures. We painted these, like I got those pictures, you know, and we had different, we decorated the place, you know, with a lot of, and we had speakers, and we had the Salt of the Earth come up with some books. They put out a table of books. We organized it very well. I mean, and that was the first Cinco de Mayo. And then they had dancers that came to dance, Azteca dancers from there, from Denver. They came over here and played and danced. And since then, Tanya has her own Azteca group now. And so we all, it all came together wonderful. And then there was a big parade, and you know, because we started at the church, and then we walked over to Kit Carson, and then the dancers were dancing, and then we had these big pictures, and we had, it was, you know, and so we, that's one way to teach people history, because, you know, who was this Indian guy? I can't think of his name now, and he spoke too, and of course I spoke, and I told him what the Cinco de Mayo was. It says it's celebrated all over the United States and in Latin America, because at one time Napoleon came up here with all his army, and to conquer Mexico after the United States had already taken this part off for Mexican, and United States had taken a big section of Mexico, and now they felt that they could just come and take whatever they could. And anyway, Napoleon's troops came, and they came to Veracruz, and the people rose up, you know, and they rose up with, they had rocks and they had sticks and everything else, and they beat up the army, and they all backed up, and of course they even sent to Maximiliano and Carlota to be a king and queen in Mexico. They said, we're gonna set up a kingdom in Mexico. And Benito Juarez came up and at that time, and he was the president, and he ended up, they had Maximiliano, they exiled Carlota. Well, anyway, and then they took him, and he said they shot him. Mm-hmm. He has killed too many Mexican people, and he's done too much to our country. Mm-hmm. And then Carlota, they exiled her.
Enriqueta, I'm curious what work you're doing. I know you're always writing and getting, you know, documents together, and I think you're working on something. I wonder if you can tell us a little bit what your projects are right now.
Well, I'm always busy. My health is kind of helter-skelter, you know, because I'm getting so daggone old. But I have a lot of little projects I have. And I have a special chapter that I want to write very much on my spiritual life and my road, you know, my spiritual road. And I've done a lot, and things have happened on my path that have brought me to that. You know, I did the sun dance. I was raised by Mennonites, born and raised in a Mennonite community, and then we learned a lot about the Bible and everything else, and then I did the sun dance. But more recently, I had to, actually, it happened. They've all got little stories, you know. It happened, this young man in Denver, I happened to be there, and he was the first Chicano, I think, that I know that died with AIDS. And they said, it was a family that I knew, and they said, Enriqueta, you should go over and visit with him. I said, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. That's the first time I did a limpia, I call it. But anyway, so I went there and I took some sage. Just happened to take sage, but I knew his mother. And I went to see him, and the family was there. And I said, well, what can we do is pray. And I did burn some sage, and it was interesting that I prayed, and all at once, this spirit rose and left in peace. And everybody felt it. And they all looked at me and they said, what'd you do? I said, I don't know what I did. So the time has come a lot of times, you know, where I've helped people cross over and things like that. As a matter of fact, I had Katie that lived here in San Cristobal, and she's the last one. I went over and I just, you know, sat with her now. So time changes you, and I don't know what my life is, but I'm going to write. I keep writing different parts of it, and it's exciting. It has been exciting for me. Mm-hmm. I've been around some very wonderful people, too. That's what makes you, you know. That's yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We learn all the time, and sometimes I think I don't know anything, but I leave something, you know. I leave something. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I have good friends. That is a good thing. And I just wish everybody, you know, have a good, rich life and just live it.
Thank you to Enriqueta Vasquez. You are listening to Where We Meet, a program of the Taos Center for the Arts. I'm Alice Morillon. You just heard the second part of an interview with Enriqueta Vasquez. You can listen to last week's episode anywhere you listen to podcasts. Look for Where We Meet, Conversation from New Mexico and Beyond. Where We Meet comes from Taos Center for the Arts in Taos, New Mexico, and is supported by the Northern Rio Grande National Heritage Area. Producers include Chelsea Reedy, Alice Morillon, and Anna Forster-Smith.